verse 23.
Praise God.
First Chronicles 16:23. And we'll read through verse 31. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Little g. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Everybody say holiness. It's in the Bible. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, everybody say it, the Lord reigneth. Praise God. Let's put our Bibles down and pray. Lord, we thank you that we could be in your house one more time to give you praise and glory and honor that is due your name. Help us be worshipers in this house today, God. Touch each and every heart that's here, God. Every man, every woman, every child. Bless every word that is spoken tonight, God. In Jesus' name, anoint me to preach this word. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be help me a little bit. Amen. I'll preach this word that God has given me. I want to talk to us tonight from this thought, the symptoms of a worshiper. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Notice all these action words that are used in this text. Everybody say sing. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. And then it says, show forth. It says, declare in verse 24. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared. So some of these action words in these verses are sing, show forth, declare, fear, give, bring an offering, come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Be glad, rejoice, and then finally say among the nations that the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. I love worship. I love worship service. I love being in my office and hearing the musicians get here early and practice, and I hear the keyboard start going and the drums and the organ and I love worship service. I love our instruments that we have. I love the guido, Brother Mendez, is that right, that you play? Hey man, whatever instrument you can find to play, Brother. I remember when we were in Life Church, Brother Bedroya, he always had that tambourine. Still got that tambourine? Amen. If you have an instrument to play before the Lord, we should play it with everything we have. Amen? Amen. Somebody preach with me tonight. All right. This is the apostolic church. Y'all can preach with me. Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. I'm a little weak. I need you to preach with me. But we are to be worshipers. And I love worship. I grew up in a home. I've said this a few times. My mom and dad were the music ministers in our church in Moss Bluff with Sister Hodges that was here for our installation service. She was the organ player, and Sister Jennifer was the keyboard player, and Brother Steve Pear was the drummer. The last name like that, you know, a pair of drumsticks. I mean, I remember our musicians and our instruments, and I remember our choir sang every Sunday. And I remember just growing up, I'm thankful for growing up in the home and hearing the music playing and hearing the choir practice and going to choir practice. We were at church, it seemed, all day on Sunday. When church dismissed, we went right across the street to Pizza Hut. Praise God, the buffet on Sunday. I think my dad had music practice at 3 o'clock. All the musicians say amen. Praise God. They were here practicing, and we'd just go right back to church, and we were there all day. And just growing up, I hear songs. I'm always thinking about songs. I love songs. The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Amen. We are to be singers. God created us to sing and to worship and to praise. What we do every service here is biblical. We are to worship. We are to sing. We are to dance. We are to play before every talent and ability that we have was given to us to give back to Him. If you've got a voice, you ought to be singing. If you've got hands, you ought to be clapping. If you've got feet, you ought to be stomping. I mean, even nature teaches the trees sway in the praise. The mountains are majestic before Him. Praise God. We are created to praise and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love a good worship service. I love going down to camp and hearing the singers and musicians and worshiping with them. I love Youth Congress. I love good apostolic worship. Nothing like it. We have the best musicians. The apostolic church has the greatest musicians. We have the best singers. We have the most anointed and talented group of people in the world. Amen? And so we ought to sing to Him. And we ought to play. And we ought to dance and clap and shout. Because there are two places in the Bible, only two, other than the parables, where we find that God goes seeking and looking for something. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And the only other place that we find God looking for something is John 4:23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Kind of like what we've been doing here, around here tonight. We'll worship the Father in spirit and truth. "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Praise God. The Bible, there are different principles, different things in the Bible. We are to be tithe payers, but it didn't say God's looking for a tithe payer. It didn't say God is looking for a pastor. It didn't say God's looking for a missionary. It didn't say God's looking for a Sunday school teacher. God's looking for an outreach director or a youth director. It didn't say God's looking for a bus director. It didn't say. It said God is looking for a worshiper. A worshiper. Many times in the prayer room, I just listen to Bishop pray. I'm a walker. Those that are in the prayer room, you know, I walk back and forth. I think better when I walk. When I'm on the phone, I walk. They used to laugh at me at Honda because there was an area that I would just walk. When I'm on the phone, I just walk in circles because I just think better when I talk. And so some of them would come out there and they'd put their fingers to their, and they'd just start walking around like they were me and just making fun of me. Just good co-workers, you know. But I walk when I pray. I just talk to God. There are times where I kneel before, but I walk and pray and talk to God. Praise God. God's looking for a worshiper. He's not looking for anything. The Bible says he's looking for a true worshiper. We'll worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't just go through the motions. We're not doing it for entertainment purposes, or when people come down to the front to worship God or run the aisles, or I've seen, you know, growing up Pentecostal, you see a lot of things. You see a lot of things. I remember seeing this brother in my church. And now you know when they're in, you know they're in the Holy Ghost, because you can't do this in the flesh. What I'm about to tell you, because he had on, you know, dress shoes, and we had pews. Like I said, our pews were bright blue, but we had pews, and this brother, when he started feeling it and really feeling it. Now there were services, you know, where you just clapping your hand and you feeling it, and you, but there are some times where you just get so wound up thinking about whatever the song is, how good God is. And our praise team, our music, everybody does a great job of just ushering in the presence and talking about, now I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of the King. I love that. And he'd get going, and it would just overwhelm him. And you could see it start, like, you could just see him start doing those, you know, the Holy Ghost Tourette's kind of, you know, just it hit him. And then all of a sudden, that brother would take off running the backs of the pews with those dress shoes on. And us kids on the front row, we would always like, you know, you just kind of brace, because let's just hope he's in the Holy Ghost. Jesus, take the wheel. Just guide him, Lord. And every time he'd make it to the back, and we had a long sanctuary. We didn't have the fan shape. It was a long sanctuary. So he was, once he started, man, he was committed. Praise God for that, though. I grew up watching that. I grew up, I remember seeing Brother Keith in our church. Brother Keith, his son pastors now in New York. But I remember seeing Brother Keith. He'd get it. And he'd come down the aisles, and it looked like his knees were going to knock out his nose. I mean, he was doing knee highs all the way around the sanctuary. I was sitting right on the front row. I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for growing up and seeing worshipers that were not ashamed to worship God, that were not ashamed to give it their all and say, God, I'm just going to give you everything. I remember seeing Sister Joyce in the back, and I've talked about it before, because these images are just embedded in my memory. I remember as the Holy Ghost got to going, and we sang out of the songbooks, and believe it or not, you can have the Holy Ghost singing out of the songbooks, amen? Singing to the Lord. We were singing, I'll Fly Away. Anybody still excited about heaven? Yeah. Page 311, we'd turn, and man, we would sing that on a Sunday night. And I remember Sister Joyce, it looked like, and I'm saying this very respectfully, and she's gone on to be with Jesus, but it looked like she was trying to fly away. I mean, she just started going. And she'd come down the aisles flapping like that. And, you know, I mean, we were chuckling at 6, 7, and 8 years old. But I look back now and I thank God for Sister Joyce Brown giving it everything. Saying, God, I don't have a traditional worship to give, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me and all that he's brought me from and everything that he's kept me from and how he saved my soul and how he saved my babies and how he's been a fence all around me, I can't help but worship him. Because that's what God is looking for. Don't let worship be lost on our generation. Amen. I remember Brother Mark Hanks. Nobody could run the aisles as fast as Brother Mark Hanks. And people tried. He'd take off running, and you'd see a young person go and try to catch him. They never did. I thank God for Brother Mark Hanks. He'd make those corners, man. It looked like he had been in the church practicing that. I mean, he just... Praise God. I'd love to go back to Moss Bluff, Louisiana, and tell some of these folks, thank you for not just telling me how to worship, but I thank you, elders, for showing me how to be a worshiper. Because one thing that can't be lost on our generation, is that we can't walk into this sanctuary and start taking God for granted. Where are the true worshipers? Where are the worshipers that are worship in spirit and in truth, with reckless abandon, with giving God their everything? Praise God. Symptoms of a worshiper. What is a symptom? I looked it up, and the basic definition of a symptom is a sign of the existence of something. Sign of the existence of something. It's flu season. We have some missing tonight that can't be here because of the bug that's going around. We have some that have just gotten over it. It's just that time. But you can tell when the flu is about to hit you because of what? The symptoms. Some of the symptoms of the flu are fever, muscle pain, fatigue, a cough, breathing difficulty, sneezing, loss of appetite, a headache, nasal congestion, or ear pain. None of that sounds good. But these are symptoms of the flu. Symptom is the sign of the existence of something. And symptoms change you. Every one of these symptoms that I listed are physical. Ear pain, fatigue, coughing. You can see the physical changing of your body when you're about to get sick. And so you go, you have a doctor's appointment. What does he ask you? What are your symptoms? What's the next question he asks you? When did the symptoms start? And you're like, I'm just sick. Can you just give me something? I don't want to think. I didn't come here to. But that's what they ask you, right, brother? What are your symptoms? And when did the symptoms start? Because he knows that if he can find what the symptoms are, then he'll know how to diagnose what you have, because symptoms change you. I'll ask you tonight, worshipers, what are your symptoms? When did they start? Because you haven't always been a worshiper, all right? Not everybody. I wasn't always a worshiper. I sat on the front and watched the worshiper. But maybe you weren't raised in church. You walked in and something got a hold. And so the great physician asked you, what are the symptoms? When did your symptoms start? Well, doctor, I walked in. Somebody at work invited me to church. And, I didn't really want to go, but I didn't have nothing else to do. And so I walked in. But when I walked in the back of the door of the church, they were singing this song about holy, wonderful, righteous song. And doctor, I started tapping my foot. Symptoms. The whole church was clapping their hands and singing. That's the symptoms of being a worshiper. And something got a hold of me, doctor. He said, oh, yeah, you got worshipitis. I see the symptoms. Praise God. We've been having great things happen in this church, great miracles. And I shared a couple, and God's been doing great things, and testimony after testimony. And the devil does not like it. We've been hit. I mean, the demons are coming out of the woodworks. They're fighting. They're fighting families. They're trying to keep families home and hitting us with everything they've got. Every fiery dart the devil has, he's hitting us. He's throwing. He's coming against families. He's fighting our families in their home, and he's fighting us with depression. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you know how we're going to overcome that? Worship. The way that we're going to overcome is by our worship. Worship. We even sing the song, weapons we use are not bombs and guns, but worship is the way that the battle is won. Because something happens when we worship God. When you worship God, and I'm talking about, we're talking about true, sincere worship. And that's what I was talking about when I was in the prayer room and walking back and forth. But anytime I get close, I listen to Bishop praying. There's wisdom in listening to our elders. Young people, listen to your elders. They've got a lot to say. And one thing that I love, I always hear Bishop say this when he prays, and now I have incorporated it in my prayer. Lord, let our worship be pure. I hear Bishop say, I heard him the first time I came and preached. Bishop was in the prayer room, and I heard him say, God, let our worship be pure tonight. Let our worship be sincere. There's something about worship that always gets the attention of heaven. Worship will always get the attention of God. So why don't we do it more?
Come on, let's just talk.
Why do we feel hindered to really worship God? To really get out of the aisle and come down to the front or have a victory march or run the aisles, because that's how we overcome. If you knew before you came here tonight that whatever it was that was bothering you when you came into the house of God, if you knew that all you had to do was worship your way through it, I'm going to ask you now, because worship service is over. But that doesn't mean you can't stop. You have to stop worshiping. But how would you have worshiped tonight if you knew that your lost loved one would get saved tonight because of your worship? How would you have worshiped? If you knew that person was that you've been praying for would be healed of that sickness, how hard would you have worshiped tonight? That's how we overcome. Why do we stop worshiping? Why do we stop? Why don't we give God everything? All the time. Every worship. I think it was said this morning, maybe Brother Troy, when you were preaching. Every service, every worship service should be a blowout service. Praise God. Worship is how we overcome. Worship is what gets the attention of heaven. Worship is what God is looking for, because when we become a worshiper, then he'll appoint missionaries. Then he'll appoint pastors. Then he'll appoint Sunday school teachers. Then he'll say, man, if you can worship me in Portland, you can worship me anywhere in the world. God is looking for a worshiper. And so every instance in the Bible that I read of the word worship It's an action word. Worship is an action. Whatever your form of worship is. We talk about running the aisles and leaping for joy and clapping your hands and stomping your feet and stomping your hands and whatever it is. But you can worship God right in your pew with tears streaming down. Whatever your form of worship is, it is doing something. It's never nothing. So I just went through a few things. I just want to read just a few instances of worship, and then we'll have the musicians come and we'll just worship for a little while. Because above all else, church, we are going to be a worshiping church. How can we have all of these miracles and testimonies and not be a worshiping church? Praise God. We will be a worshiping church. Amen. When Bailey goes down to IBC and then she gets to talk it, they're going to say, oh, you from that worshiping church. When we go down to camp, they're going to be like, oh, you pastor, that worshiping church. When they see you, they're going to say, oh, you're from Portage United Pentecostal Church. Y'all are known all over this district for being a worshiping church. Yeah. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis 22, 1 through 5. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him, said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, Abraham and Sarah had been praying for a son, for a child. You know the story. She was barren. She couldn't have children. So they prayed, and then the angel came and said that you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughed within herself because the Bible says they were old and well stricken in age. But God can do anything. Amen. And when he gives you a promise, let's just stop right there. When he gives you a promise, it doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter what the world says can't happen. If God says, I've got a promise with your name on it, it's going to happen. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands for your lost loved ones that are going to walk in the back door. Somebody ought to worship for the prodigals that are going to walk in the back door. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, so offer this promise. They had Isaac because that's what the Lord said was going to happen. So they had a boy, this promised child. And now he's telling Abraham, take your boy, go to the mountain, and offer him as a sacrifice. Take Ethan, bring him up the mountain, and sacrifice him. You make it personal. But between that verse 2 and verse 3, it says this in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. There was no but God. He didn't start reminding God that this was my promise that you gave me. He rose up early and did what the Lord told him to do. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And notice verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. These next couple of few stories that I'm going to read, I noticed two symptoms in every story of a worshiper. And they are these: sacrifice and action. The sacrifice, obviously, in this story was Isaac. And the action was this. He told his men, he said, stay right here with the donkey. Me and the boy are going to go further and worship. Sometimes your worship is going to make you leave your friends and step a little bit further and say, I'm going to go yonder and worship. It's a worship service. I get it. I understand. And I understand. I'm sitting with the youth group and I understand. But I've got to step out right now. My worship is calling me to go a little further. Your worship. Your true worship. Worship, that is not normal. Will take you a little bit further. A little bit deeper. God wants to test your heart and see how far are you willing to go to worship me. Sacrifice and action. Everybody clap your hands. Second Samuel 6, 12 through 22. Another worshiper in the Bible. And I don't have time to mention every worshiper, but I want to mention a few. We talked about Abraham. Let's talk about David. It was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. He said, well, if they're getting blessed, and this is why, I'm going to just go get that thing so I can be blessed. We're talking about Josiah this morning. I like Josiah. I like David too, man. That's giving you blessing? I'll take that. And so, verse 13, it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he stopped and sacrificed. That's a symptom of a true worshiper. Your worship will require sacrifice. It's not easy to step out and run the aisles or give God praise or whatever it is that you do in worship. That is a sacrifice. And so, sacrifice oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. When is the last time you danced with all your might? Think about it. How long has it been? We're a dancing church, and we'll be a dancing generation. Dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. We need to sing that song again. Maybe we'll sing it at altar call. There you go. If we know it. Nothing like springing on a song. Hey, it's okay to be a dancing generation. I know it's not all in the shout. I know that. I know that. But it's not all in the doubt either. It's not all in the pout. Amen. Sometimes it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice. There is a time to dance. There is a time to worship God with reckless abandon. And that's what David was doing. We write songs. We sing songs about dancing like David danced. David was a dancer. He said, I'm bringing the ark back to my house. They got blessed. Now we gonna get blessed. He'd walk 6 paces and then the Bible says he would just start dancing with all his might. This was the king. You know, we don't need sophisticated apostolics. We don't need distinguished and so distinguished that you can't worship. Sometimes you gotta undo the collar and just worship God a little while. God's not worried about that top button. Come on. Sometimes you just gotta let go and let God and get lost in a crazy worship, in a crazy dance, saying He's done so much for me. I'll worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. And so the king danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. They knew where the worshipers were. They could hear, oh, there's a worship coming into town. This city needs to hear our worship. These houses around here, they need to hear our worship. They need to hear our music, right? Praise God. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. She didn't like what she saw because she thought he should be a little more distinguished. David, you're the king. Chill out. You're not really acting very kingly. You're acting a little foolish. You're acting like you've been blessed. You're acting like you were watching your daddy's sheep and a lion came out and you killed him with your bare hand. You're acting like you stood in a valley of Elah before a giant and you slew him. You're acting like you had the victory. Why don't you stop dancing, David? Why don't you stop acting foolish before a God who's never failed you and never let you down? Before too long, David, they're going to be calling you a man after God's own heart. Stop worshiping like that, David. You look like you have some symptoms of a worshiper. And so they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and piece of flesh and flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. And then David came home. And here comes Michal out to meet David. She didn't even wait for him to get inside. David, how glorious was the king today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said, hold up. It was before the Lord. See, there is a distinct difference when we worship before the Lord. Oh, when you come down doing high knee kicks, or you come down doing the Holy Ghost helicopter, or you're doing running the aisles, or running the backs of the pews, or running the aisles as fast as whatever your form of worship is, when it is before the Lord, it is always in order. It's always pleasing to God when you worship Him with reckless abandon in everything that you have. Praise God. David said, hold on. I didn't worship. I wasn't doing that to cause a scene. I wasn't doing this just, I had a purpose for dancing the way I dance because right behind me is the presence of the Lord. And so I have a reason to dance. He chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will be yet more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. What he was saying really is, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. As the musicians come, you don't know like I know. What he's done for me. Amen. Praise God. We have so many testimonies. I talk and hear of some of the worship services that we used to have. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, we're a worshiping church. Yeah. This church is a worshiping church. I love your outward demonstrative worship. I love your response to worship. But I even remember, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm just talking about the church in general. You hear of these services, Brother Dwayne, where they would literally carry out the young people while they were still drunk in the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And I long for those services. You hear of those worship services, and then it's that word that we used to have. Well, God hasn't changed. And then they tell me of worshipers here when they were younger and just how violently they would worship. We can't let worship be lost on our generation, Brother John. We can't let worship be lost, Brother Searfoss, in our generation. I want our kids to say, oh man, do you remember? Do you remember when Brother Scott Swanson took off running the aisles? Do you remember when Brother Spicer took off and he was leaping before the Lord? These boys right here. Our kids, I want them to remember the days of when we worshiped God with reckless abandon. Don't let worship be lost on our generation. Because notice what happened when David was a worshiper. 1 Chronicles 18:6. Then David put garrisons in Syria, Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. And notice this. Thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Another translation says, wherever David went, he had the victory. How many of you are tired of living defeated? You know, we could knock off some of the prayer requests from the list in the office when we're writing down some of these prayer requests and different things. We could turn these prayer requests into praise reports and say, look what the Lord, he healed my body. He touched my mind. With our worship, goodness, there's a lot of worshipers in the Bible. I got a lot. Paul and Silas, I'm not going to read the story, but in the jail cell. I'll just say this, don't let your circumstance dictate your worship or your lack thereof, but you can worship God wherever you're at. in whatever situation you find yourself in on this Sunday night, you can be a worshiper. And that's what God's looking for. It might feel like you're in a jail cell of life, that there's no way out, that there you look in the front and there's bars, you look to the side and there's bars, you look behind you and there's a concrete wall. And God said, yeah, but if you'll just start praying and singing praises. Because God's always responded to worship. My, my, my. God has always responded to when His people began to worship Him. When I think of His goodness and everything that He's done for me, how could I not be a worshiper? How could I just sit there and not give God praise when I think of everything He's done for me? So, and you can stay standing. So you have issues at home. Worship. So you've got a disease in your body. Worship. Because the symptoms will be like this. The symptoms will look a lot like sacrifice. And there'll be an action that has to take place. Because the Lord says He stands at the door and knocks. But you know what He doesn't ever do? It never, there's no translation, there's no commentary, there's no concordance, there's nothing that ever says God opens the door. There's a lot of them that say knock. Because it's an action that is required of us. Say, all right, God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of the same thing wrapping my body. I'm tired that my lost loved one's not saved. I'm tired of this depression. I'm sick and tired of this guilt. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. Last one I'll talk to you about, and then we're going to sing. Luke 7:36, one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Guess what? If you're a sinner, you can worship God. I'm thankful that it's not just saved people that can worship. But no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been or how long or how short you've been in church, you can walk into the house of God for the very first time and before any of the saints, start worshiping. Oh. Who's that? Who do they think they are? They don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't look like we do. Well, then shame on you that they're running the aisles and you've had the Holy Ghost for 85 and a half years and you're not worshiping. What are you waiting on? And so notice, this lady, which was a sinner, it doesn't say what sin, it's taught that she was a prostitute, but whatever, she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus was in the house, brought an alabaster box. Something's playing in the system, brother. I don't know what it is. when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, the one who invited him to come, the one who had it all together, when the Pharisee, which had bid him, saw it, notice this, spake within himself. But when you're in the presence of God, he knows what you're thinking. Saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman. If this church knew who they were, they wouldn't let them worship the way they are doing right now. I keep up my God. Hey, I'm not stopping anybody from worshiping in this church. As long as it's unto the Lord, you worship. Amen. Nobody's going to stop you. In fact, I wish you'd have started a long time ago. If they'd have known, if he'd have known which prophet. And Jesus answering, Jesus answered a thought. This Pharisee's probably like, ooh, did I say that out loud? Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. That's kind of like when pastor says, can I see you in my office? I'm going to start using the King James verse. I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to this sinner woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I walked into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. How long have we been here, Simon? I showed up in your worship service. I was here. You're battling depression. And I was here to deliver you. But since I've walked into your house, you have yet to worship me. I'm in the book. Where were you at? During the psalm service. You're sitting with all of these issues on these pews and you haven't yet begun to worship me. I've been here before you walked into the prayer room. I've been waiting on somebody to get lost in a worship so I could heal you, bless you, deliver you, put your marriage back together, get you off of drugs, get you off of that suicide. Amen. He said, you see this sinner woman. Sometimes it's like that. We should never let the new converts out worship us. Amen? Amen. Oh, glory. Glory. When I think of his goodness, as I look back over my life, all these songs about having a testimony and everything that God's blessed us with, we should have worship down by now. Oh, we should be a master worshiper. We don't just have the symptoms anymore, but it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I am a worshiper. Every ever since I walked into your house, Simon, you didn't give me water. But she has washed my feet with her tears because she's a sinner and she knows whose presence she's in. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, the whole time that we've been talking about being a worshiper, we've been sitting around having meetings about meetings about meetings about outreach. Right. The whole time we've been here going through the motion and you calling me master, she's been acting like I'm her master. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Because what she broke was priceless. It was so valuable to her. She didn't have it all together. She didn't know you're supposed to say God in three syllables. And you're supposed to be distinguished and qualified. And you sit in a certain way with your feet like this. And you have a fork here and a fork there and a spoon and this and that. And for some reason they all talk British. All she knew is that I'm a sinner. And I heard Jesus was in the house. And all I have is all I have. But I'm going to give it to Jesus. And he said, to whom much is given, to whom much is forgiven, that person will worship me with everything they have. What has God forgiven you of? Oh, let's talk about that. What has God forgiven me of? That long, long laundry list. If anybody ought to worship God every service, it should be us. Young people, it should be us. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Always be a worshiper. Always be a worshiper. As they begin to play and sing, I wonder if we could come down to this altar. And before we start worshiping God, I wonder if we could repent and say, God, I'm sorry that I haven't really worshiped you the way that I should have worshiped you. Come on, everybody ought to be down at this altar. Come on, why don't we come down here and kneel before the Lord for a little bit and repent and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I have so much to be thankful for. Come on, that's it. Lord, forgive me. I want to be a worshiper. Don't let worship be lost in my house. Don't let my children not see me be a worshiper. But I want to be a worshiper in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. Come on, that's it. Come on, everybody, repent. Lord, forgive me. Let me be a worshiper. I haven't worshiped you. I haven't got lost the way I used to. I didn't get lost the way I should have. But God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to my Bethel. I'm coming back to that place where I found you. Come on, that's it. Repent before the Lord. This is the sacrifice part. And then we're going to take an action. This is the sacrifice part. God, I'm sorry.
You've blessed me. You've forgiven me. You've healed me. You've blessed my family. You've been a fence all around me. You've been my protector. You've been a shield. You're my horn and my buckler. I ought to be a worshiper. That's it. That's it. Lord, accept this sacrifice. Lord, let the sacrifice be pleasing to you right now, God. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper. Above all else, God, I want to be a worshiper because that is what you're looking for. That's it. That's it. That's it. Yes, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Let me have childlike faith once again, God, that all I want to do is just sit at your feet. All I want to do is just love on you. All I want to do is wash your feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes, God. I've got to be a worshiper. It's valuable. It's valuable. It's my everything, God.
I've come to pour my praise on him. From Mary's dust above. Don't be angry.
Whatever it takes, God. You weren't there when he saved me.
You weren't there the night he found me.
Where were you at when he found you?
You did not fear.
What were you going through when God delivered you? To whom much is given, much is therefore required.
You don't know the cost from the